Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, my friends. It is Tuesday, the fifth day of October 2010. I'm honored that former Minnesota governor, movie star, mayor, talk show host, and the star of the number one hit on True TV, Conspiracy Theory, back for its second season, premiering here in just about a week and a half. Governor Jesse Ventura joins us. He kicked off the promotion yesterday with a USA Today interview and talking to some major newspapers. But this is his first big radio interview as he gets ready to promote the television show. Of course, I know a lot about the show, but most of it is secret. And so he joins us today to be able to talk about as much as he can, some of the harassment they've gone through, what's coming up in the episodes. We'll also get into all these new terror alerts just ahead of the election. And we're going to talk about the economy, a host of issues with Governor Jesse Ventura. Jesse, good to have you with us.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing? Say, should I get off on the right foot with all of you Texans?
Sure.
What the hell happened when you played UCLA?
UT didn't do too well, did they?
Boy, that's one of the worst showings of a Texas football team that I can recall in my memory, you know, especially at home. You know, you guys are usually unbeatable in Austin or Dallas, as the case was. Where did you end up playing them?
Well, I forgot to mention, you did XFL and NFL, didn't you?
Yeah, I did 3 years of the National Football League, got two with Tampa Bay Radio and one with the Vikings, and then I did 1 year that the XFL existed.
Well,
football's football, you know? It's just played at different levels by the professionals that do it, but it's still the same game, whether you're playing it at junior high or high school or all the way to the pros.
When we were down in New Orleans after we were done doing our investigation, I had to fly out the next morning. You were there for a few more days to continue your investigation. Did you ever get a chance to go to that Vikings and Saints game?
I had the opportunity to go, but unfortunately the show came first, and we had gone out that day way out to the tip of the Gulf, which is a few hours' drive from New Orleans. And unfortunately, I didn't get back until they were actually kicking it off. And by then, you shot with us in the heat down there. I was pretty exhausted, so I took the easy way out. I just went up to my hotel room and watched it on TV.
Well, Gov, a lot is happening. We're going to get a break in a moment, but I want to get into the show. I mean, obviously, I've been a consultant, and I appear in quite a few of the episodes that are coming up. But I have to say, the last season was shocking and informative. From what I've seen, it looks like this one's shaping up to even be more hardcore.
I think so. I think it's the topics are even, I don't know how you say they're better, but more exciting even. And the other thing on the production end, on our end of it, anytime you go from your first season to your second season, you're going to iron out some of the rough edges. You're going to do better on the focus of what you're trying to accomplish. And so a second season is always the first season of doing a show like this. You kind of fly by the seat of your pants. The second season, you have a good idea of what works and what doesn't work and how to go about getting the information we need to get. So I think it's always a work in progress and hopefully always an improved work in progress.
When we come back, we'll get into as many of the episodes as we can and squeeze as much info as we can out of you, Governor. But a quick question, what's your favorite episode right now?
Well, I suppose my favorite would have to be JFK, because that's the one that has had my passion for 30-odd years now of reading and studying about it. So that's the one that really strikes home with me. And also because my feelings about JFK are this. If a coup d'etat could happen, if you can remove a president, our president, and get away with it, well, what can't you do then? See, that's what, to me, lays the table for anything that comes later. If you can do that, Alex, what can't you do?
Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest for the full hour. We're going to come right back and continue with the JFK investigation he's conducted. He's got some groundbreaking information.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depths to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin and simple, has a one-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your Clip Hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing Clip Hanger and the Clip Hanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at MyPhoneClip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit MyPhoneClip.com to get your Clip Hanger today.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is here with us today, kicking off the promotion. We're honored to have him for the second season of Conspiracy Theory. Here's USA Today's headline. Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory raises further questions, and it's a pretty balanced report here. It's going to be kicking off October 15th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central on True TV. It was the number one hit show last year, and I had so many people saying, only 8 episodes, we want more. I've gotten so many emails, so many calls, people on the street have said, you know, bring back the show. And now that the second season's been announced, people are calling me saying, will there be a third season, Jesse?
I don't know. You know, again, this is cable or satellite television, so it runs differently than regular network TV in the fact that they buy them by, for lack of a better term, the lots. Like, they bought 7, then they bought 8, and that's the way they do it there. It's not like a yearly thing like network TV does and all that. So whether they could order another 8 of them at any moment. They could do it today, or they could wait till the conclusion or whatever, and because that's the way it's done in cable television.
What if network TV wanted to, say, give you Larry King's show, because I know people talked about that, or wanted you to do a broadcast?
Right. They're going to put me to replace Larry King, right.
Well, what if you got offered a broadcast television show? Would you even accept it, or is Mexico too much fun?
I don't know. It, you know, again, it's one of those hypotheticals, Alex, that until it happens, I'm not going to even bother thinking about it because there's nothing, you know, happening right now that indicates that. And so I just keep doing what I do. And now if it does rear its head, well, then I'll have to sit down and make a decision on, you know, what I prefer to do.
Getting back into the television show, for stations that just joined us, we were talking about your favorite of the eight episodes of your investigations being the JFK, and I'm privy to some of the groundbreaking research you guys have done. I don't know how much you can get into, but you were making the point that if they can kill a president in broad daylight and get away with it, they can do anything. And that's basically what Bruce Willis told Vanity Fair last year. He said, you know, my whole view's changed since I researched JFK because clearly the same people that killed him are in control today.
Well, it seems so. You're going to see a lot of tie-ins. And I'll just say this, and I'll be real open about it. Through a great majority of our investigations and shows, these eight shows, in a great deal of them, at some point during the investigation, Halliburton shows up. It's amazing the tentacles that this company has into our foreign affairs and things that are going on with our country. It seems along with our country, right below the United States, comes the word Halliburton. And, of course, we all know who operates and runs that.
Good old Mr. Cheney.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's amazing. Every time I do a conspiracy theory, a great majority of them, at some point, paperwork will lead us to Halliburton.
When you were down here in Texas, I don't know how much we can get into ahead of the show, but I tell you, that was amazing at that particular facility.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They all are. And, you know, I'll go into, like, in the JFK situation, people, I want them to tune in the show because they will hear the first confession. And believe me, Lee Oswald's been dead for a long time, so it certainly isn't him, would it be? So, you know, that's the main thing I answer on JFK, is the big question is, well, what will your show this year that's new? And I think the confession is pretty dynamic.
Doing your in-depth, I mean, you've been studying the JFK assassination for decades. Your new book's got several very informative chapters. American Conspiracies, that, by the way, we carry at Infowars.com if folks want to get it. Did your investigation just confirm your previous research, or did it cause you to question?
No, I think it confirmed what I've believed in studying that particular conspiracy for many, many years. I felt very vindicated and kind of sat back and thought, gee, I was right.
You know, I noticed consulting and traveling around the country to a few places with you and here in Texas that over and over again, it was a mirror of last season, like when you were at HARP, when they hide inside the buildings and won't come out. I mean, they act very suspicious.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, we went to one place that they call a residence. And, I mean, I've been a governor and I've traveled to state prisons before. And I could not distinguish between the two except for the name on the front of the building.
Yes, a residence center with barbed wire and playscapes for children.
Yeah, and that was the real. And then the response is no comment. I mean, the thing that I hope people get out of this is that we can't even ask our government a question, let alone expect them to give us an answer. That's the great big story I'm learning in doing this show. And I find that very offensive, Alex, because we are the ones that pay. We're the taxpayers. And I'm sure I can compare South Minneapolis to Texas. The way it worked when I grew up in South Minneapolis is if you're paying out the money, that makes you the boss.
Yes.
And somehow we've lost sight of that we are the boss. We are the ones that pay the money. Taxes. These people work on our money. So therefore, we should be the boss. Now, I understand that, sure, you've got national security issues. Sure, you got things that you have to protect as a government. I've been on both sides of the fence. But the point is, unless it deals with something of total national security, why can't we don't have to know the details, but certainly they can admit to what things are. Like, I'll tie it in with Area 51. I mean, everybody knows there's a base there, yet the government officially denies one exists. Now, what type of nonsense is that? My tax dollars pay for that secret base out there, and I think I have every right to know it exists, and I think I have every right to be protected from it. This base out there has no gate, it has no distinguished markings that indicate that you're trespassing on a government base, and yet there's a sign there that says they can use lethal force.
Well, look at what's happened.
That's very disturbing, Alex. They can kill you for trespassing. Technically.
Well, going back to 1947, Governor, they made the national security state through the National Security Act, and since then, tens of trillions of dollars go into a secret black hole. Trillions are missing from the Pentagon under Clinton, Bush, and now Obama. They tell Congress in the C-SPAN hearings, we won't say where the money went. Foreign banks have stolen trillions in the bailout. They won't say where the money went.
Exactly. I mean, this is the biggest case of criminal white-collar crime there could possibly be.
Let's talk about that.
It's simply as basic as this, Alex. We can't even have a paper trail. We can't even get a receipt, like going to an ATM. An ATM at least offers you a receipt, something that you can have in the palm of your hand that says you did what you did. We can't even get a receipt from our government over the millions and trillions of dollars. And I have to laugh when the debate gets to health care and they talk about paying for it. Alex, if we just accounted for all the money in these two wars and all the rest of it they spend on this crap, we could pay for health care to where we'd all probably have our own doctor living in the garage.
Well, yeah, that's true. The total defense budget is $2 trillion every year, $1,100,000,000 on record, and another $800-plus billion on top of that. Governor, speaking about secrecy and all of this, we were talking about Congress keeps asking the banks, where's the money? And they say, we won't tell you. You did do a big investigation on Wall Street. Talk about that.
Wall Street was the one that I thought was going to be the most difficult show because it's so, I mean, these power brokers and their money, they know how to put up the smoke screens. They are professional at doing that, of making things so convoluted, so hard to understand, and that's how they get away with it. But it turns out, from all indication, people are telling me the Wall Street show could be the best of the lot because they said we managed to break it down into a simplistic form to where everyone out there will truly understand what happened.
Give us as much of an insight into the episode as you can without giving it all away.
Well, just that we go out there and we deal with people. Some of them are going to prison, and these are people that are at best mid-level. And yet we're made to believe that these are the culprits. Remember this about the whole Wall Street debacle. The people going to jail are not the ones truly responsible. Most of them were caught up in the middle of all this mess and really had no way to get out of it. And they're the ones that are going to fall on the sword and go to the slammer.
Well, they always burn a few underlings.
Sure. And that's what you're going to see on our show. We talk to a few of these underlings, and I'll tell you, they're very vocal because they're not very happy that they're the ones that are going to jail, and the big criminals are walking away scot-free and more wealthy.
Well, I know a little bit about the show and the research. It's bombshell. And are you worried again like you were last year? And I mean, do you have any private bets with the crew that this may not air?
No, I have full confidence. I'll be stunned this year if it doesn't. They put everything on last year, and there's no indication I've gotten whatsoever. In fact, Mark Juris, who's the head of True TV, he told me when I told him about my gentleman's bet, he told me eye to eye. He said, I can assure you, Governor, there wasn't one discussion about your show not going on.
Well, that's another big question. They've denied world government. They've denied CIA drug trafficking. They've denied human experimentation, you know, giving people syphilis all over the United States and Latin America, our own government. Now they just pretty much admit it. Like 3 months ago, the CIA came out in the Washington Post and said, yeah, we put out fake bin Laden videos. And then now they have Robert Shapiro, who works for them.
Because, Alex, they're so arrogant now because we sit back and I guess they figure there's nothing we can do about it anyway. That's the only conclusion I can come to.
I agree with you, but I think it's several things. It's also that the alternative media has now overall displaced even the mainstream media, and they can't deny this anymore. So to keep any credibility, they just have to basically admit some of this.
I'll agree with you on that aspect, too. Sure, certainly. Alternative media is the only hope we got.
And that was my next question. I'm sure you've seen in the news, but it was in the BBC last week. Inventor of the Internet. No, it's not Al Gore. The real inventor came out. That guy's Google that and put it on screen for me. You know, inventor of Internet came out and said the Internet is being shut down incrementally with this cybersecurity. And I noticed that they admit now in the media that Israel launched this worm that attacked Iran. And China and others, but then the government came out and said, see, we need cybersecurity to take over the infrastructure of the web and spy on you because of this new worm. The government launches the attack and then says, we need to take your rights to keep you safe.
Oh, of course. That's standard operating procedure. You know, people need to understand clearly that whenever government tells you they're going to protect you and keep you safe, the only way they can achieve that is by putting you under, by taking your freedoms. And I personally, and I'm speaking only for myself, I would rather have my freedoms and face the fears of life than I would to be given this cozy safety net underneath a domain that allows me no freedom.
There's a new report out from Tennessee where a guy in the county didn't pay a $75 fire department tax. So they came out and watched his house burn, but then put the neighbors out because that house then caught the neighbor's house on fire. Whatever happened to the laws about failure to render aid? If I'm driving down the street and somebody's just had a car wreck and I don't stop and help them, I can go to prison. But now under privatization, our taxes go up, but they're laying off police, firemen, and they're saying, if you don't pay all these new fees, when your house is burning, we're not going to put it out.
Well, indeed, that's a total shame, and it's we should be embarrassed that something like that could happen. Read what I brought up in my USA Today article, Alex. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get plenty of flack over this. I said far more important than building a mosque in New York City is I would like to ask why religion doesn't have to pay property taxes for the services that they receive and that are rendered on an equal basis that all the rest of us have to pay for, which is fire, police, and the maintenance of your streets. How come churches get that for free?
Well, I'll say this.
And all the rest of us have to pay when they're getting the idea. I mean, if someone disrupts church, a policeman will come in at the call and take care of it. If the church catches on fire, the fire department will put it out. And if they need their roads plowed up in Minnesota, the public plows do it. How come they don't have to pay and everybody else does?
Well, I'll say this, because in the First Amendment it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, and I agree.
That has nothing to do with that. This is called getting services from the public domain on a piece of property.
Well, I'll be honest.
Does it have nothing to do with restricting religion?
No, I'll be honest with you. Well, the power to tax is the power to destroy. I didn't know that churches didn't have to pay for the fire department. Wow, that's...
They don't have to pay for nothing. At least in Minnesota. Maybe in Texas they do, but I can unequivocally tell you in Minnesota, on the way our property tax system, and I think it's the same everywhere, religious places don't have to pay nothing.
Well, I'll say this. The reason they didn't want that, because if the government starts having taxes, they can then have tax incentives like George Bush's faith-based initiative where the government starts paying churches. And this is
Alex, this is apples and oranges. This is owning property and getting
No, no, I understand what you're saying.
To me, you can't absolve them of that just for fear of the other. That shouldn't happen. These are buildings. These are properties that get services from the public domain, which we all chip in and pay for. Okay, if you're an atheist, why should your tax dollars, if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in any of that, why should your tax dollars go to pay for those places to get services rendered?
No, I see your point. Just like in Travis County, why should I have to pay money to pay for elective abortions? And that's the problem. Once we get a big government period, then a lot of us are forced to be paying for things that we don't want.
Well, no, it's not even don't want. It's if it's out there, anyone that uses it should be required to participate. That's the difference, Alex. They're using it. It's being provided, and they're not having to pay for that participation. Why?
Now, it's an interesting point.
Why do they get off free? Why does all the rest of us have to pay? And like I said, if you're an atheist, you have to pay, and this entity doesn't. And it's not getting an abortion or anything like that. It's doing daily things that happen in life that are required to be done. How come they get a free ride on it?
Well, it's a powerful lobby, but I do see your point. Shifting gears to another subject, you talk about your father, even before people were protesting the Vietnam War, and of course he was a highly decorated World War II veteran, he was criticizing the Vietnam War beforehand. You talk about your father in USA Today.
Oh, yeah. No, I just told them the story about how my dad, I would come home with the teachings that they were teaching me in school, and my father and I would be at the dinner table and have battles over it because he didn't feel we were being told the real truth in school, and it turned out he was correct. And I always like to laugh about it today. My dad died in 91, but I always tell people, it's amazing. He died in 91, but he gets smarter every day.
So
because the things he told me growing up, now that I'm 59 years old, I'm looking back and remembering how extremely bright this man was about world affairs. And here's a guy that only went to eighth grade. He was a World War II veteran and worked his whole life as a street laborer.
And yet he
knew a lot of stuff.
Well, it's sad that so many of that great generation are dying off. Both my grandfathers, of course, World War II veterans. And when we're out on the road, driving around, or in airports, you talk a lot about your dad and those lessons he taught you. Briefly, get into that story about he was really too old to even join the military and all the combat he saw.
Well, my dad went in at age 36, which was the oldest you could possibly be. And he had, I think, 6 bronze battle stars. He was North Africa, then Normandy, Battle of the Bulge, Remagen Bridge, Anzio, and finally Berlin. And he got out 4 years and got out. And the fun part of the story is when he got into his latter 60s, my aunt went back to Pennsylvania to the coal mining towns where he was born. And they discovered his birth certificate. It turned out he was a year older than he thought he was.
So he was too old to even be in, really.
Yeah, he technically was too old to be allowed in the military. Or maybe he knew and just lied to go anyway. I don't know.
Your mom was in the war, too.
Yeah, my mom was a nurse in North Africa. And she served in North Africa. And the amazing thing about her was, as she got old, every night they'd do the reruns of MASH, and she would watch the evening news and never miss MASH right after it before she'd go to bed, which was probably very similar because MASH was Korea, and it was probably very similar to, just a few years earlier in North Africa.
And, of course, your dad being in the European theater and the North African, that was really the toughest battles, they say, statistically, was against Erwin Rommel, the Desert Fox.
Yeah, that's what they say, the knowledge that I have of it. And, knowing that my mom and dad were both in North Africa against Rommel, who was probably the best Nazi general by all accounts. I mean, didn't Hitler have him killed in the end?
Yeah, he was jealous of him because Rommel was secretly trying to work with folks to get rid of Hitler. Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. The new show premieres the 15th of October. We're going to come back, get more into the show, a bunch of the news, all these new fake terror alerts. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Special announcement for our Renaissance Charge customers. Have you ever wondered what it would take to make your car run on 100% electric power? What about making a motor into a generator? How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you money? Because you, our customers, asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Conference Workshop on November 13th and 14th at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but for the first time, you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Register now while there's still room left to participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy Tesla technology. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
The question is, where should the American people draw their line in the sand?
What have we got? A republic or a monarchy?
A republic
is based on a constitution which protects minority rights.
Not democracy, not mob rule, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
So they think they own our land. They think they own our water, children, our education, our money.
We have to define who we are and what we will tolerate.
Somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
You have been warned.
We have the facts. We have the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. We have common law. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited to be able to offer you, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Tyranny is upon us, but liberty and the sleeping giant that is the American people is rising. A new tool in the info war. Don't Tread on Me. Order it at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139 and support independent, patriotic Liberty Films.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Hi, this is former Governor Jesse Ventura, and this is the Alex Jones Show. I recommend you all pay attention to Alex, because Alex and I are teaming up again this fall for a second season of Conspiracy Theory, where we will attempt to get to the bottom of these conspiracies. Until then, keep watching and listening to Alex.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, the man himself, the iconic Jesse Ventura, is our guest for the rest of this hour. And we appreciate him giving us the first radio interview as he kicks off the promotion for the second season of Conspiracy Theory. Jesse, do you know yet what the first episode is going to be, what they're going to air for?
I can't tell you. It's in stone, but I think the first one's Plum Island.
Let's talk about Plum Island, then we'll get into water. That's another episode.
Yeah, well, Plum Island, what's interesting about that, of course, is it's located right on the end of Long Island. And really what intrigues you about it is to go into the history of it. It's a biological center where our government tests out biological diseases on animals, in which, like hoof and mouth and things like that, to prevent it. That's the upfront story about Plum Island. Now, the conspiracy in Plum Island is this. Lyme disease. The first recorded case was found in Lyme, Connecticut, which is right across the water from Plum Island. And then you go into the history of Plum Island and you learn this. The godfather of Plum Island is a Nazi named Erich Traub. And at the end of World War II, he was right underneath Himmler. And his expertise was creating biological warfare using ticks and mosquitoes and inflicting them upon another country with devastation of biological warfare. Well, he probably should have stood trial at Nuremberg, but of course we all know at the end of World War II there was a battle between us and the Soviets of how many scientists we could all get. And he's one that made it here. And now there were good to that. We got Wernher von Braun, who's the godfather of our space program and NASA. But we also got Erich Traub, whose expertise was biological warfare using ticks and mosquitoes. He is the godfather of Plum Island. He is the man that created this place. So, I mean, call me, you know, paranoid, Alex, but any time I know that a Nazi created something and we're now using it, my suspicion rate goes up. Is that a logical thing to do?
Well, absolutely. And as you know, they're now building 36 level 4 bioweapons labs in the middle of nowhere, but also in major cities like San Antonio, Texas, and in places like that. And there's a lot of evidence that not just Lyme disease came from Plum Island, but also that the West Nile virus and so many other zoological type things. And now we're going to put this on screen. I'm sure it came out a few days ago that not only did they give black men syphilis for 40 plus years and kill them and let them spread it, but now they've apologized to the U.S. government in secret testing, injecting thousands of Guatemalans with syphilis. I mean,
Alex, am I missing something, or would we classify that terrorism?
It is terrorism, yes.
Yeah, I mean, how come our country can do things that are terrorist and we're not called? I mean, I got in trouble. You know, Fox TV won't have me on anymore because I made the statement on there when I was on months ago. I said that why are we so shocked that we would get attacked by terrorists when our country's been practicing terrorism for going on 50 years? We just call it foreign policy. And they got angry and asked me to cite an example, and the quick one that came into my head, I said, well, what about Cuba? I said, we've attempted to assassinate their leader on multiple occasions. I said, we tried to destroy their cane fields. We bombed ships in their harbor. And, of course, we all know, you and I, about the nice guy Orlando Bosch. He's a guy that blew up a Cuban civilian aircraft with 100-and-some people on board and was pardoned by George Bush Sr.
Yeah,
he's walking free today.
The Cuban Olympic team, and that's admitted that he was CIA contracted.
Yeah, now, is that not an act of terrorism?
Well, let me bring this up to you then.
If that's not, then explain to me the difference.
Well, there's two issues here, and I want to get back into the government-sponsored terror, both the stuff they stage, but the open terror that they call foreign policy, 1,000 drones bombing Pakistan, and they admit if they kill one person of interest that may be a terrorist, they claim, it's okay to kill 100 innocent people at a wedding. But and I want you to speak to that, Governor, but separately, you're saying specifically, well, because that's big news. I mean, Fox News has told you, because I used to be on there all the time as a guest, you're not allowed on now because...
Well, they don't officially tell me, but they won't book me. The last time I went, it used to be I could at least get on with Hannity. Now I can't even get on with him. Beck, Hannity, O'Reilly, and all of them. See, they're the kind of guys that they thrive upon being able to bully people. And the problem is I can't be bullied usually.
Well, that's the issue, is that Glenn Beck calls you stupid, but I know you well. You're extremely smart, but also street smart.
Glenn Beck calls me stupid?
Yeah, guys, YouTube, Glenn Beck calls Jesse Ventura stupid. He does an imitation of you. He says, yeah, I was in a dressing room with him.
Wait, Alex, this comes from a guy whose only claim to fame in his entire life history is being a top 40 disc jockey?
Absolutely.
And he calls and he says, I'm stupid, huh?
Well, I'm going to try to pull this clip up.
No, I don't care. I consider the source. But, I mean, coming from a guy, and nothing against this. nothing against that profession. It's an honorable
But I know you well.
But you can't hardly call yourself a foreign policy specialist if your entire background is being a disc jockey.
Well, my point is that in the tape, it was from his radio show, he claims that you were in a dressing room with him and, quote, tried to intimidate him, if memory serves.
Oh, that's true.
And
absolutely. I intimidate all the people at Fox. He joins a good company called O'Reilly, Hannity, and the rest of them.
Well, I was going to expand on that. I mean, I've seen you with Hannity where he completely capitulates and they're just unable to dominate you, but you're not bullying them. You're very calm and just lay out the facts.
Well, the thing is, you have to remember something, Alex. You have to treat journalists in different ways because each one of them thrives on being successful in a certain manner. And the Fox people thrive on being bullies. So the key to interviewing with them is to show them they can't bully you and that, you know, you in turn bully them. Did you see when Jon Stewart was on with O'Reilly? I mean, Jon Stewart destroyed O'Reilly. It's the first time I've seen O'Reilly lose control of his show. Jon Stewart had full control of O'Reilly's show, and O'Reilly was just pumping in little bits and pieces when he could.
Yes, I have seen that. And if anybody is a bully, it's O'Reilly. He'll cut
all
off
of them are.
He'll cut off people's mics. He'll get in their face and tell them to shut up.
They all are. It isn't just him. They're all that way. That's the persona there.
Well,
people need to understand Fox News is not Fox News. It's Fox Entertainment.
Well, since we raised this, I want you to hear it and be able to comment. Here's Glenn Beck talking about Governor Jesse Ventura. Here it is.
I heard Jesse Ventura. What a dope this guy is. I heard Jesse Ventura, who's nothing but a big, fat, dumb bully. And trust me, I know. He tried to intimidate me in the makeup room one day before a CNN show. And he's just a bully. He's big, he's dumb, he's slow. He's definitely a big, dumb animal. And he is a bully. That's it.
You know the only offense I take out of that, Alex?
What?
The only offense I take, how dare Glenn Beck called me fat?
No.
How dare him? That fat butterball called me fat? Excuse me, I used to be called Jesse the Body Ventura.
Well, I gotta say,
granted, I am not in the shape that I was in when I was at the peak of my pro wrestling career at the height of athleticism, but I still am in pretty good shape.
Well, let me be clear.
The offense I take from that is having Glenn Beck call me fat. When's the last time he looked into a mirror?
Well, he certainly is an effeminate twerp. But I mean, to be serious here, I remember right after you had your hip surgery, you came down and visited me in Austin, and that was the biggest you'd ever been, maybe 10 pounds overweight. But, you know, when we were flying around the country, I saw you pull your shirt off a few times. We were changing and stuff. And, I mean, for somebody who's 59, I've never seen anybody with ripped muscles like you, Governor.
Well, I'm not the best built 59-year-old in the world. I'm not going to claim that, but I train every day. I work out constantly. If you're going to go down and attempt to surf in Mexico, do you think you can do it being big and fat as Glenn Beck was? He called me. I can't believe he could, him, of all people, could call me fat. That right there should kill Glenn Beck's credibility completely.
Well, I didn't mean to get off into him.
Oh, no. I'm laughing about it, Alex. It's good humor. I'm not irate or nothing about that. I consider the source.
Well, you know, Glenn is covering a lot of world government stuff, but then he blames it on low-level communist professors instead of admitting our Pentagon. I have the RAND Corporation documents. I have the Global Trends 2025, a transformed world. The policy of the megabanks that run the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about is to have corporate welfare and to steal the wealth of the people to make us more easily controlled. And meanwhile, he's claiming some low-level professor, you know, is the top of the pyramid. And I think people are getting wise to him. That's why his ratings are plunging, and the New York Times talked to him, and he admitted that he's got major friction with Fox, and they may throw him under the bus. I mean, you may not see Glenn Beck in a year.
Well, you know what? He won't care. He's made his money. You know, he's become exceptionally wealthy for what he does because of, and let me throw that out to the people of the United States, because of the minions of lemmings out there that could take someone like Glenn Beck and make him a messiah. I mean, what does he care for, Alex? He's made a ton of money.
Well, I think that's the establishment joke. They got an effeminate, and I was reading the New York Times article, they admitted he's effeminate and said that's good. And they admit he constantly flip-flops, and they said they're proud of that in this New York Times piece. And so the face of the anti-New World Order, unless you talk about Alex Jones, Ron Paul, or Jesse Ventura, is Glenn Beck, who just radiates. It's not even fair to women to call him effeminate.
I'm more disappointed in the people of this country than I am him. You know, how could they be led by the nose by somebody who's as unqualified at anything as him? He's never done anything. He found a niche in the radio world, in the TV world, and he found a niche of people that he could lead. I mean, all, you know, remember that people are easily led, you know.
Well, he criticizes Obama, which is fair, for reading off a teleprompter, but he admits he uses a teleprompter.
Everybody does. The teleprompter is a marvelous thing. I think the only jealousy comes in the fact that George Bush couldn't read one.
All right.
You know, all the rest of us can.
We're running out of time, and this interview is really getting powerful here, but I want to get back into the episodes. Let's talk about the water episode, because I was asking during the break, I said, what do you think's the most scary? And you said water, and I tend to agree with you, because these multinationals, tell folks what you discovered.
Let me just say this. I go out with a Native American chief, and we go to Lake Mead. By Hoover Dam, you know, the water source from Las Vegas. Let me finish with this. I got news for you, people. Within the decade, Las Vegas is going to have no water. Lake Mead is down 125 feet. Let me repeat that. 125 feet down. I stood on a plateau there 60 feet below the ledge where docks were still up there where less than a decade ago kids were fishing off them. The water was now 60 feet below where I was standing at. And the water show that we do, if it does not terrify the people of this country, then nothing will.
And, of course, you interviewed me for that. You came to Austin to investigate it. But how much more of the investigation can you talk about? I mean, clearly you show
That's enough, Alex, just to say it leads us to the northern peninsula of Michigan and the Great Lakes, which is home to 20% of the world's fresh drinking water.
And who gets to have the water? We don't get to have it, but somebody else does.
Well, watch the show. We'll be very clear on the show.
What can you say about the police state camps show?
Well, I will say this. It again reaffirms. Y'all remember when Michael Moore spoke to Congressman Conyers and he set Michael Moore down and said, let me tell you something. We don't even read the bills we vote on.
Yes.
You will be reassured of that again. Because I sit down with a congressman who assures me up and down that there are no FEMA internment camps being built in the country. And you should see how funny it is on camera when we then show him the bill he was co-sponsor of Homeland Security, which states that they would be building no less than six of them.
And that's on top of the other camps they've got under.
He didn't even know it was in the bill. That's the point. These people are not reading what they vote on. They're being told by their political parties how to vote.
Let's get into another episode. What can you say about the oil spill? I mean, this is really powerful.
Well, again, the oil spill, we investigate conspiracies, and to be blunt and straightforward, there's a strong suspicion and a lot of circumstantial evidence that that oil spill was done intentionally.
And you know, we talked to some homeless people down there who were actually clean cut, who came down to get jobs, and they said they wouldn't hire us for the cleanup. And you said exactly what I was thinking. You said, hey, buddy, be glad you didn't get that job.
Exactly, because, you know, the stuff they're using down there, this dispersant, It has four lethal chemicals in it, including, I think, cadmium and arsenic and two other lovely things. And I'm, for the life of me, trying to figure out how adding billions of barrels of lethal chemicals to already saturated oil water is a good thing. I can't figure that out. Now, I am not a scientist, but it doesn't make sense to me that by adding poison to the water is going to be beneficial more so than just the oil in the water. Now you got two of them in there.
We're going to come back with our final segment with Governor Jesse Ventura. I might twist his arm to do five more minutes in the next hour. He's probably going to. And we'll get into all this hyping of stage terror, and we'll talk about another 9/11 investigation they're doing with Governor Jesse Ventura. Don't forget, folks, his book, American Conspiracies, number 4, New York Times bestseller. We've got it discounted at InfoWars.com. Get a free copy of The Obama Deception with American Conspiracies at InfoWars.com. We'll be right back on the other side.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys? 18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depth to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at InfoWars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Gov hurt my feelings. He usually gives us more than an hour, but he's got a tee time. I guess it's almost too cold to keep playing golf, but he did say he'll come back one more time with us before he heads down to Mexico. Correct, Gov?
Absolutely, Alex. I got a tee time, and they don't hold them for anybody, not even me.
How many holes are you going to play?
18. That's why I got to be out there. You know, the days are getting shorter. It's getting cold up here in Minnesota, and the window of golf is slowly closing, and that tells me it's time to start surfing then.
What are you shooting in golf?
Oh, I'm just You know, if I'm shooting well, I shoot in the 80s. If I'm shooting not so well, I play in the 90s.
That's pretty good. You got to get you down here and play our producer, Jaron. He's a pretty good guy. Now, Governor, we've only got about 4 minutes left. I'm sure you've seen the hype, the terrorists. We have specific targets in Europe, in the U.S. Turns out they had drills planned 2 months ago. It's a global drill. And it just so happens it was scheduled for this week, and we have all these White House people, even under Obama, saying we need a terror attack. That's in the Financial Times of London, to make people trust their government again. You know, Governor Ridge admitted they issued fake terror alerts under Bush. Is that not psychological terrorism?
Yeah, well, it also, you know, if they're talking like that, then it kind of winds back to 9/11. Shouldn't we start questioning it? You know, if it takes a terror attack to bring the country together, then the country is in pretty bad shape, in my opinion. And the timing of these things, they always do them. Look at the elections, where all of a sudden, right before the election, we get an Osama bin Laden tape. I guess the best thing I can say is to the people out there is wake up and smell the coffee. Start paying attention a little bit more and start looking beyond soundbite news for your answers. But then again, I'm on the Alex Jones show, so essentially I'm preaching to the choir.
Well, we have a lot of new listeners, Governor. Obviously,
well, no, but so many don't listen to you, Alex, and so many don't listen beyond soundbite news, and it's those people we have to try to reach.
Briefly, tell us about the 9/11 episode. It's the Pentagon.
Well, the 9/11 episode, the most exciting part of it will be that I speak to a woman who was right in there when the alleged plane hit, and you will hear an eyewitness account from someone who was right in there, and she says some very startling things.
Has this verified your suspicions?
Oh, yeah, it's reaffirmed my, yes, very much so. It took it that way rather than the other way.
Well,
whenever you talk 9/11 long enough, Alex, eventually you start doubting yourself. You start questioning yourself. And when I speak to a woman who survived the Pentagon and was right in there, and she reaffirms my suspicions, well, that's good for me, too. I need that every now and then, because it just seems you're out there fighting the unwinnable war, and occasionally you need an ally.
But clearly people are starting to wake up. I mean, not everybody, but I mean you've been around the country and
I hope so. But see, wake up doesn't mean the Tea Party.
Well,
you know, people need to, you know, that's it, I don't know where the wake up is going to take place. I really don't. But hopefully people are starting to question more the things they're told and not just this self-blinding belief that they, with our egos, that the government can't lie to us, that the government can be bad. They can be, because government is merely people, and we need to lose the ego that quite possibly evil people can be elected to powerful positions. You need only look at Germany in the 1930s to clearly understand that.
Well, the show's premiering at 10 p.m. Eastern, October 15th. That's a Friday, isn't it, Gov?
Yeah, Friday night, so there'll be no conflicting baseball games.
All right, well, let me say bye to you in the break, and I'll let you get to your tea time. We'll come back next hour. Another big guest joining us on a lot of news. That's Governor Jesse Ventura giving us the exclusive first radio interview.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.